This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar in studio today with Philip C. It's Thursday, the 23rd of December. We'll be talking about the headlines in the newspapers and portals in just a bit. But first, as always, we're recapping how global markets ended trading yesterday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
So are we heading for a center rally? It looks like it. The US markets were all in the green territory. The Dow was up 0.7%, S&P 500 up 1%, and Nasdaq up 1.2%. Asia also followed suit, except I think Shanghai, which I think didn't embrace center. It was down 0.1%. The Nikkei was up 0.2%. Hang Seng was up 0.6%. Singapore STI up 0.1%. And back home, FBM KLCI was also up 0.5%.
So joining us on the line for some thoughts on where markets are headed, we have Terence Chua, Senior Research Analyst at Phillip Capital. Terence, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. So we're seeing a lot of volatility in the stock markets over the past week over uncertainties brought on by Omicron. Keeping this in mind, which equity sectors would you recommend as we head into 2022?
Despite the uncertainties brought about by Omicron, we continue to be overweight on the reopening themes. And we see the recent pullback as an opportune time to accumulate some of these stocks. The equity sectors we are overweight on are the travel and leisure sector and also the banking sector as we head into 2022. We are overweight on the banking sector as inflation continues to soar in the US and also all around the world. So we believe there should be a tightening in monetary policy, which will be good for the banks.
Can you help me pass out specifically? I think you've missed out, I think, tech. And I think you also want to look at it on a more broken down basis, right? Like, which parts of tech would you look at or not actually?
Right. The technology has always been a beneficiary of the secular play and the secular growth in the sector. But valuations are not exactly cheap now, and the valuations look a little bit frothy. So we would rather allocate more of our portfolio towards the reopening themes, which we believe will give us more alpha.
And so there's this deep diving, right? Because we see two very distinct kind of tech performances like Netflix and Amazon. You know, they're continuing to attract really good buying interests. But on the likes of Zoom and Peloton, we've seen so much price volatility. Can you help us parse out the difference in risk appetite between the two groups?
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned earlier, Netflix and Amazon belong to the famed FANG stocks, which attract investors because of the long-term secular growth theme surrounding it. But this is in contrast to the volatility that you mentioned rightly with companies like Zoom, as their fortunes are in some ways deeply correlated with the trajectory of the pandemic.
Okay, turning our attention to equity markets within the region. This year, the Hang Seng Index has been one of the weaker performing bourses in the region relative to its peers. Do you have an outlook on how the Hong Kong equity market might perform in the short term and what kind of factors will affect it?
Yeah, we believe the Hong Kong equity market will remain weak or flattish as investors remain on the sidelines until there is more certainty on the macro backdrop. We believe the factors affecting it right now, the biggest factor would be the political risk associated with the Hang Seng Index.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. And if you don't mind just taking that a bit further, right, the regulatory element, because we see a lot of Chinese tech companies now shifting away from New York. You don't think Hong Kong will be a beneficiary of that?
No, because in some ways, yes, but it continues to be dragged down by the political backdrop that in the last couple of months and even last 1 year, there's been an increasing spotlight on the Chinese tech companies that hold significant market power, and the Chinese government has been trying to clamp down on those. So we don't think that this is over. We see the Chinese government continuing to put more measures to try to curtail the power of the Chinese tech players. Just recently, the Chinese government just terminated the cloud contract with the Chinese tech company. So we expect to see even more volatility going forward.
All right. So still a lot of uncertainty, regulatory uncertainty there. Looking down south to Singapore, where you are, Singapore tightened border restrictions yesterday because of the Omicron. Will increasing movement controls have any adverse effects on the currency and stock markets? Or is the economy now more resilient than a year ago?
Yeah, when we look back on at the last 1.5 to 2 years, whenever the government tightened border restrictions or movement controls, the equity markets have actually moved higher after. So that's a little bit contrary to what we think, right? Because we believe this is because investors are pricing in the effects of the measures taking effect and the eventual reopening after tightening. So equity markets have actually gone higher, and past tightening measures do not have any material movement on the currency. The currency or the Sing dollar is more adversely affected by the monetary policy in the US.
And if you don't mind helping us pass out, right, in Singapore, where are the opportunities in Singapore? Because earlier on in the US, you were saying it was travel and banking stocks, right? Do you take that same view as well in Singapore?
Absolutely. We continue to think the reopening team, it is not a straight line recovery. There are hiccups and there are zigzags on our way to reopening, but we think we are getting there. And so we continue to position towards the reopening place, like travel and leisure, like what I mentioned, and also in Singapore, the banking sector as well. As the global rates increase, this will have a lifting effect on all the financial companies, but not just in the US and Singapore, but around the world as well.
Yeah, and if we just deep dive into the banking sector in Singapore, you know, you said that the top three Singapore banks, you know, they really make up 20% of SGX's total market cap, you know. How do you see valuations there? You know, you're saying there's some opportunity there, but at what point does it become perhaps overvalued?
Yeah, so we at this point, we see them as largely undervalued now, like you rightly mentioned. But for 2022, we are still expecting mid-single-digit loans growth on the back of improving NIMs. NIMs have largely stabilized, which will improve net interest income. We will also expect non-interest income to grow in strong momentum, to grow at double digits, driven by wealth management and investment banking fees. The significant general provisions that the banks set aside is also expected to be reversed going forward, providing an uplift to its net income. I mean, the banks are trading at an average 4% dividend yield now, which we think is respectable.
Terence, thanks very much for speaking with us. And ahead of Christmas this weekend, have a good weekend.
Merry Christmas.
Terence Chua, Senior Research Analyst at Phillip Capital, talking to us about trends moving markets and ending the conversation there with a look at banking, at the banking sector in Singapore, and why he thinks this is still a good bet going into 2022.
I mean, it's so interesting and so contrarian that even though you tighten border restrictions, the market is actually has already priced this in and anticipate the volatility there. It's
ever the optimist, I suppose. Perhaps. Hope springs eternal in Singapore, which is great.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.